So look, you wrote a story. It's about what legalization looks like in Washington State. And for people who did not read it, this is the too long didn't read breakdown. There is a lot of red tape up there, huh?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things that really surprised me is just how intensive the regulation is. It's not just a matter of applying for a license and, you know, showing that, you know, you got the investment capital for your business from legal channels, but you also have to security fencing and cameras, and you have to keep the video available for people, for the liquor control board to look at for 45 days. Once you harvest, you have to keep your crop hanging for a day and sort of tag it and indicate how much you harvested so that the liquor control board can come inspect if they want to. It's all going to have to get tested at an accredited lab. There's going to be a lot of regulations that I think the people here who've been growing have not really been accustomed to.
Let's take a comparison to liquor law, which everybody knows. It's like, this restaurant is allowed to serve booze until 9 o'clock, and then they can serve. Then they can't serve hard alcohol like that. It's just liquor law is so complicated. Is this more complicated, you think, than liquor law?
Well, I think a little bit, and I think that's probably because there's been three generations of complete prohibition. So there's a lot of hang-ups that people still have, a lot of questions that society has that probably over time. Some of these barriers will get broken down or at least lowered. But, you know, just take the distances that you have to be from, you know, things like schools and playgrounds. The distances are double what they are for liquor to get a marijuana license. And there's a lot more, like child care centers, for example, aren't covered in the liquor law distance requirements, but they are for marijuana license. So there's a lot of ways in which it's not a completely level playing field.
So you're making the comparison here that this is essentially, I mean, marijuana farmers who are accustomed and who, by the way, are no stranger to math and science and chemistry. Like they've got the head for this sort of thing. Clearly, if you ever sit around in a room and they're talking about like how much wattage this room is going to need at this time of the year when you combine diesel plus the solar array, like they know these things. But this whole bureaucratic world is going to be kind of a shock, you say.
That's what I'm anticipating. You know, when I first bought my apple orchard in Petrolia, I thought, oh, I'm going to maybe make apple brandy with all these apples. And the red tape just for that was intimidating. I was like, forget it. I'm just going to sell apples at the co-op. It's easier.
You say that, but Washington State... You write, quote, some of Washington's rules are aimed at keeping monopolies from capturing the cannabis business. Talk about that.
Okay, so they've set a cap on how many licenses they're going to issue for retail shops, for example. 334 licenses statewide, only 21 of them in Seattle. But you can't have more than three licenses, and you can't have more than a third of the licenses for any single city or county. So the idea is to spread that around. And if you're a retailer, you can't have a growing license. So the idea is that also has to get spread around. There's not going to be anyone who has a vertically integrated operation all the way from seed or seedling or clone all the way to the smoker. Finally, you can't have more than three growing licenses, and no growing license can be more than 30,000 square feet. So all in all, that would add up to just a little over 2 acres for any one person or partnership or corporation to control. And so some of the fears that people have, you know, that R.J. Reynolds or Gallo would capture the market, those couldn't happen under the current Washington scenario.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Seth Zuckerman, author of this week's cover story in the North Coast Journal, which is called This is What Legalization Looks Like. And in the story, you say that the red tape is so unappealing to some people that they have chosen to actually stay in the black market.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to one grower, for example, who just, you know, he has a small-time operation. He knows who his customers are. He doesn't want to hassle with all this red tape, a lot of which you know, he'd have to scale up substantially to make it worth his while. So he's figuring to just fly under the radar. And I think a lot of people probably are going to continue doing that. In fact, one of the most interesting things I learned is that the Liquor Control Board, they're anticipating that even 10 years out, only 40% of the cannabis smoked in Washington State is going to go through their licensed retail stores.
Really?
The rest is going to be either in the black market or potentially through the medical market. And so, you know, they had to adjust their revenue projections accordingly. But I think it's going to be a big adjustment, and I think they're realizing that it's going to take a long time for people to accommodate to this new reality. I think in California, too, if legalization or when legalization happens, there's going to be a similar period where people can fly under the radar. So it's not as though, you know, you're flipping a light switch and all of a sudden the black market ends and everyone who's growing cannabis is going to be in a, you know, licensed, regulated business. Because people, you know, people have habits and ways of life. They don't change that quickly.
Right. We've got just a little bit more time with Seth Zuckerman here. And you had said early in the interview that in Washington State, that if you wanted to go into business as a marijuana, was it farmer or retailer? You clarify that in a sec. But you had to be able to show that your seed capital for your new small business had to be generated legally. How do they prove that, and what do you make of that?
Well, so it is. That applies to both growers and retailers. And apparently, they just got 4,900 applications for licenses of various kinds, growers, processors, and retailers. And now they have a team of inspectors who are going around interviewing people, and they're asking people to submit documentation about where all this money came from and how much, and a business plan saying what their startup costs are going to be, and where that money is going to come from, how much they expect they're going to be able to generate. It's darn close to having a real job, you know. It's a level of accountability that I think people aren't accustomed to having. And so I think it's attracting also a different strain of people to the business than had been in the business before.
Like people with management experience and people with business degrees and that sort of thing?
Right, and just the tolerance for the kind of paperwork and bureaucratic red tape that this is going to that's going to come along with this. Now, the flip side, of course, is you don't have to, you know, there's not home invasions of people in the Napa Valley coming to get people's grapes, right? So there's certain benefits to being part of a legal, regulated adult use business, and I think that over time, I'm guessing that as society gets more comfortable with marijuana as a legal substance, a lot of this stuff, a lot of these regulations are going to get toned down a little bit.
That stands to reason. That kind of makes sense. Well, we are out of time. I really appreciate talking with you, Seth Zuckerman. The story is at the North Coast Journal. You can find a link to it at khum.com. We're going to post the interview here up in just a couple of minutes. Thank you so much for your time. What is going to be next on your horizon in terms of local content for us here in Humboldt? You're speaking to us from Washington State.
Right. Well, I'm really interested in the way the old-time cannabis business in or cannabis culture in Humboldt County has butted up against the newer, larger-scale growers who've come in, and I'm working on a longer piece of writing about that. And people can come to my website at sethzuckerman.com and find my email address and drop me a note if they have any interesting stories, anecdotes they'd like to contribute to that. I'd be very interested in talking to them when I'm in Humboldt County later this month.
Seth Zuckerman, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.